Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save, fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I think there's something that Kirby Smart is really good at as a coach. Now, there's obviously a lot of things he's good at as a coach. He's been very successful, won a lot of games, put his team in a position to win a national championship this year. But I think there's one thing in particular that I kind of noticed that he may make look a little easier than it actually is. And for proof of how difficult this is across the country, all you got to do is just, you know, follow the news of players opting out and then maybe in some cases trying to opt back in. And the Big Ten, that's one thing because of the fact they didn't think their league was going to play. But some of the SEC stuff where it seems like a lot of players have had kind of one foot in, one foot out, maybe not quite sure what their full level of devotion was to their program. And listen, college football is a voluntary activity. I don't fault people for making the choices that are the best for them. But sometimes if you've got too many players thinking along those lines, it's probably not great for the team environment all the way around. That's probably just a fair thing to bring up. But for some reason, Georgia doesn't seem to deal with that all that much. Now you're going to come back and say, well, B.A., what about Jamie Newman? He opted out. And I'll say that's true. But that's probably more evidence of just how tough the task is, more so of anything regarding Smart or Georgia failing at the task of getting players on the same page, swimming the same direction, getting ready for the upcoming season. Let me give you here really quick, and we won't spend a ton of time on this, but I want to give you really quick a perfect example of this, of what Smart provides for Georgia in terms of a tone for the program that I think really matters. And when Georgia wins a national championship, and I think the answer to that question is still when this occurs for UGA, the mood that exists around the program, the selfless attitude that many Georgia players take towards their season, their own careers, making the team goals bigger than their own, I think that atmosphere will go a long way towards eventually contributing to a national championship. Without a doubt, one of Georgia's very best players is defensive tackle Jordan Davis. He may be among the very best players in the country. He is also kind of an amazing story of a guy who went from three-star prospect coming out of high school to now potentially very high draft pick. You know, he's, you know, listed on the All-SEC team. This is a guy who's turned out to be a better player than his recruiting profile would have suggested. If anybody wants to have kind of a big head about what he's done thus far in college, Jordan Davis would maybe be one of those candidates. He has just overcome the odds. If Davis wanted to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder about the fact that people didn't, at one point in time, didn't believe in him, you know, didn't think of him as a top-flight player, didn't think he'd ever be where he was, Davis would be forgiven if that's the way that he wanted to act, if he wanted to kind of play with that kind of edge. But instead, when he spoke to reporters this week, he kind of gave you the same sort of sense of humility, the same sort of selfless attitude that has probably defined him and a lot of Georgia players over the course of their time at UGA. He was asked directly, as a defensive lineman, what are the stats that you're going to judge yourself by this season? Numerically, how will you know if you've had a good year? Now, I want you to listen to the answer that Davis gives to that question.
I actually look at the linebacker stat because I know if the linebackers get a lot of tackle, that means I'm doing my job right. So I always say two on me, somebody's free. And so usually when the linebackers make a tackle for loss, it's usually dealing with something on the D-line.
I love catchphrases. Two on me, somebody's free is a really fun catchphrase. And Jordan Davis is probably right about that. Now, the one thing I think he's wrong about is the notion that the only way you'll measure his success this year is through linebacker stats. I actually think that Davis statistically is going to have a better year than that particular quote might suggest. I think he's going to have more tackles for loss. I think he's going to have more sacks. I think that Davis is going to be a big story as we head towards the upcoming NFL draft. Selfishly, as a Georgia fan, I hope he doesn't leave. I hope he stays around for a senior season, but it's at least a possibility that he plays well enough this year to move himself into the forefront of the NFL draft conversation. But beyond that, I think you've got to give Kirby Smart some credit. Now, you've got to give Davis credit for just embodying this attitude. But I think you've got to give Kirby Smart credit for cultivating an attitude like this. It's really the only thing that works at a place like Georgia. Everyone was an elite recruit. Everyone had credentials. Davis maybe as a recruit less so than others, but he is now kind of a top-flight player. Everyone can Google their own name and find lots of people like me, blowhard speaking to a microphone, saying good things about them all the time. That can be, and Kirby Smart's used the word before. In fact, I think you'll hear him use this on today's show. That can be a disease from time to time. It's the kind of thing where people just sort of fall in love with themselves. They play for the, as the old cliche goes, the name on the back of the jersey more so than the name on the front of the jersey. But somehow, some way, Smart has been really good at keeping that disease away from the Georgia program as much as it can possibly be. And yes, players get fatigued, and at some point in time, I'm sure that, you know, being a part of a team environment can be a little bit frustrating here and there. But for the most part, the dominant narrative for UGA are guys coming together to make the team bigger than themselves and happy for team success, even sometimes maybe at the expense of individual success. That was a really good quote from Davis this week, and I do think that Smart should get some credit for the way in which that he has cultivated that kind of attitude among his Georgia players, because I don't think that Davis is the only one who feels that way. Now, with that said, let me kind of shift gears and do something different for a moment. I actually want to revisit a point that I made earlier this week. Do you remember earlier this week when I said that I'm not sure that ESPN has caught up to what's going on with the Georgia quarterback competition as of yet? There was a little blurb after the Top 25 was re-released, and there was a lot of talk about JT Daniels at quarterback, very little mention of Dwan Mathis whatsoever. Even in the story that I read from yesterday, the one that Bill Conley wrote for ESPN.com, there was a tiny mention of Mathis, but for the most part, it almost seemed like an editor had gone back in there and just inserted that sentence. It was really mostly about JT Daniels and what he might do for the Georgia offense this year. The notion that Dwan Mathis could win this job, that Dwan Mathis could be Georgia's starting quarterback, it seems like, as I said to you earlier this week, that ESPN might be a little slow to catching on to that. Well, I want to provide a key update to this, and things are about to get silly for a couple of minutes here, but I think it may be worth doing nonetheless. So Matt Stinchcomb, who I have, you know, great respect for, goes on the SEC Network. He's on SEC Now, and they're talking SEC quarterbacks for the upcoming season. And if other ESPN writers may be slow in realizing that the Dwan Mathis storyline right now is real, it's a factor, it's worth talking about, Stinchcomb himself is very aware of this. Now, listen, I'm going to play this audio for you, but I got to explain it first, to the extent that I possibly can explain it. So what they're doing is they're looking at the so-called swag meter. They're looking at the quarterbacks around the SEC, some of them, not all of them for whatever reason, but they're looking at the quarterbacks and they're judging them on the basis of their swag. Now, when you think about people who are probably the least qualified to talk about someone's swag, so to speak, I'm probably pretty high on that list. I'll admit, listen, I think that Stinchcomb is a gentleman and a scholar. He's obviously the brother of John Stinchcomb, who's a huge part of what we do here at Dog Nation. I don't really understand this segment very well, but I guess it's good news that, first of all, Matt Stinchcomb is clued into the fact that Mathis could be the starter at Georgia, and Mathis comes in with a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10 on the swag meter on the SEC Network. So here is Matt Stinchcomb talking to Dwan Mathis, and do with this what you will.
How about down in Athens? We've got Dwan Mathis. Where's he on your chart?
The music is great, by the way. Just very inspiring. It's perfect for it. Dwan Mathis is at a 6. And the reason he's at a 6 is because it took him a little time to actually get that starting nod. We don't even know if necessarily he's going to be the starter. It certainly looks that way. He's got so many different elements to his game that he's got a great chance of having a great season.
What does that music have to do with swag? That's the first thing I have a question about. I mean, when I think about swag, I think something, you know, a little bit different kind of musical vibe. That almost sounds like Ron Burgundy's jazz flute there for a minute. I'm not really not quite sure what that has to do with swag, but I guess it's good that Mathis has a 6 of 10 on the swag meter. Like I said before, I love Matt Stinchcomb. I don't 100% understand this segment, but if you're looking to see some evidence now that the SEC Network, you know, the ESPN in general is kind of catching on to the Mathis storyline, you bring on the UGA guy, Matt Stinchcomb, kind of helps you out with that. That's one of the reasons why it's probably good all the way around to have a guy like that, you know, doing broadcast media, because he can help clue in the national folks on what's happening here in Athens that maybe some of the folks around ESPN were not quite aware of. Let me just kind of say this as a way of wrapping all this up. We're going to kind of transition into a theme for the show today and some of the other segments that we're going to do, because, you know, Mathis does, I guess, have some swag. JT Daniels may have some swag as well. We'll find out how swaggy he is when he gets a chance to play. But one of the things that I think is going to help either of these two quarterbacks when they get a chance, or both these two quarterbacks if they both play versus Arkansas, some of the offensive weapons they get to lean on, that maybe asking too much from either quarterback early in the season is a mistake, but allowing them to also use the other weapons at the Georgia offensive disposal, that might help things out a little bit, and I look forward to talking to you more about that here coming up. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by Kroger. And I guess I'm curious to find out where I rank on the swag meter. If you want to weigh in on that, my own personal swag meter, Connor gives me a 2 on the scale of 10. Honestly, that may be a little generous, actually, on my swag meter. But you know who is swaggy, though? Our friends at Kroger. Kroger doing great stuff for you, making Dog Nation Daily possible today. We really appreciate that from them and invite you to check them out. Some great things they've got going on. By the way, speaking of this, flu season coming up. Kroger hosting a couple of opportunities for you to get a free flu shot here. Couple of dates to take advantage of there on that. They're both Wednesday, September 23rd, Gwinnett Church, Hamilton Mill in Buford. Also, Elizabeth Baptist Church in Atlanta. Same time for both. It's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can check that out, the drive-through flu vaccination events. If you go to the Dog Nation homepage, you can learn more about that, and you can get up to date on all of that with Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger online at dognation.com. By the way, thanks for being here. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio and Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast everywhere else. We just appreciate you being a part of what we're doing here today. It's Jeff Sintel coming up in a couple of minutes. We're going to go on the road with him, assisted by AAA. Before we do that, though, I do want to pay off what I said a moment ago. I think there's a little bit of a mistake if you say, for a guy like Dwan Mathis, who at this point in time, I guess I expect to play at least some, if not start the game against Arkansas, asking too much from him, having never been in that spot before, may be a lot. Even against what we think of as maybe an overmatched opponent like the Hogs next Saturday, asking too much from Mathis may be kind of tough there. For JT Daniels, who's apparently hobbled enough that he hasn't even been fully cleared to play yet, Kirby Smart letting us know earlier this week that he's had even a setback on that going back to January, an additional procedure or whatever that was kind of talked about. We discussed that earlier this week. Maybe asking too much from him at the beginning of the season might be a little much here too. But as we go around the doghouse delivered today by our friends at Marco's Pizza, let's talk a little bit about what both these quarterbacks may have at their disposal as we get ready for that. An incredible collection of wide receivers. And to begin with here on this, there's George Pickens, and obviously the expectation this year, a guy like Pickens could have a great year. It sounds like on the basis of what Kirby Smart said this week, that some of the same things that Pickens may have been wrestling with a year ago, maybe he's still to a degree wrestling with some of those, but there's also some aspects of Pickens' game you can't deny, and Pickens' demeanor that I think makes him an effective football player. I thought Kirby Smart was interesting talking about George Pickens this week. Listen to this.
George is a talented player. In terms of leadership, it starts from within, and it starts with him. He's got to do a great job of making sure he's handling all the things he's got to do, both on and off the field. And George is growing up, as all players do. And we need him to grow up faster. We need him to lead more. He's certainly a talented player. But you know, sometimes that can be a disease at George that affects you. You have to be careful of that, because what makes George great is his love for the game. And you just can't let that be a weakness. You got to make sure it's a strength.
I totally agree with that. Obviously, there's a way of loving the game too much. Listen, there's a way of loving a lot of things too much. We kind of understand that. But ultimately, the love that Pickens has for the game, I think, makes him an effective player. You know, I like the energy that he plays with. I only want to dial it down maybe a half a degree. I don't want it dialed way down, because that makes Pickens less than what he is. And I think it's interesting when you hear that description of Pickens and his love for the game. Smart provided a similar description for a freshman we've heard a lot about lately. Yesterday, Terrence Edwards, who's going to be with us for the Dog Nation postgame show this year, presented by the UGA Bookstore, he talked about Jermaine Burton. Kirby Smart also talked about Jermaine Burton, too, this week. And some of the praise that Smart throws Burton's direction is also a passion for playing the sport. You love this from Kirby as he talks about Jermaine Burton.
He's explosive. He loves the game of football. Got really good hands. Very consistent ball catcher. He can go up. He can explode up. I remember watching him in high school. He can jump boxes, and he's a talented guy. And he's
a talented guy. But the problem with this, though, that Smart's about to explain, is that in a lot of cases, freshmen might have their way to work their way into a season. You're playing Louisiana Monroe. You're playing Austin Peay. You're playing teams like that. This year, the Georgia schedule does not provide those opportunities. And by the way, Week 1 last week, we saw a lot of offenses kind of slow to get off to a good start, not exactly in midseason form. For Kirby Smart, knowing he'll rely on freshmen like Burton in the offense this year, that is also apparently a little bit of a concern. Here's what Smart said about that.
He's learning our system, so he's not there yet, but he's a good player. And, you know, so many years we've played here, we've had these games where early in the year we could kind of build to a crescendo and bring the freshmen along. And unfortunately, this year, with the schedule we got, it's not going to fall that way. I mean, you look at the first four games, and it's just a weird year for having depth at some positions with freshmen. They got to be ready to play really fast, and they got less time to do it because they didn't get a spring ball. They didn't get, you know, some of the summer. And so we're having to, like, you know, make decisions really quick when it comes to getting our depth set and our roster set for the games we have.
So I think that's true, but here's the point, though. You know, Georgia's ongoing quarterback competition leaves a lot of unanswered questions, but the way it's supposed to work is because Pickens has been in the program and because Georgia has recruited the wide receiver position as well as it has, what that's supposed to do is provide a little bit easier, maybe longer on-ramp for a quarterback to get comfortable, or maybe near the beginning of the season, both Mathis and Daniels to potentially get comfortable, leaning on the talent that's around them. We're going to talk running back in the spot more later on in the show. But when you think about Burton, who by all indications is expected to play a good bit this year, when you think about Pickens, who ought to be ready to take the next step with his development, the presence of receivers like that, even though the receiver was not exactly the strength of this team a year ago, but the presence of the receivers, the likes of which I just described, ought to make the job of the quarterback around the UGA a little easier this year. It's Around the Doghouse, delivered today by our friends at Marco's Pizza. You know, Marco's Pizza is America's most beloved pizza. It's real, authentic Italian pizza. It's also, you know, right now, while we're all thinking about health and safety, it's important to remember that this pizza is cooked 450-degree oven, totally contactless in terms of the way that it's put together for you. Very, very well taken care of. And it's just delicious pizza all the way around as you head towards the weekend where there's going to be a lot of sports being watched. Also, Marco's Pizza's got a really good deal for you heading into the weekend that I want to make sure that you're aware of here. You can get a large one-topping pizza and 10 chicken wings or dippers for just $17.99. It's a Dog Nation game day favorite for sure. You can order yours right now, delivery or carry out at the Marco's app or online at marcos.com. And you can be getting ready for a great weekend of watching sports. There's a ton of it, and Marco's Pizza pairs very well with that. It's Around the Doghouse. Delivered today by our friends at Marco's Pizza. All right, I got more on the Georgia offense before we're done, including a special look at the Georgia running backs. But for now, there is a lot of recruiting talk to get to. News on Amarius Mims, good profile of him at Dog Nation here this week. Uniforms, how does that impact UGA recruits? Obviously, they typically are pretty interested in this kind of stuff. A lot of ground to cover. Let's do it with Jeff Sintel as we go on the road today, assisted by AAA.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And, of course, it's good to be with Jeff Sintel here on the road, assisted by AAA. A lot of recruiting talk to get to, and we'll look forward to doing that with Jeff Sintel. And I guess, Jeff, if you don't mind, let me just kind of begin where I was a moment ago. You know, we did a lot of content on uniforms yesterday. I'm going to talk a ton about the brand new, you know, what I would, you know, brand new in one respect, throwback in the other, the red road pants, the white jerseys, the homage to 1980, which I guess will be worn at Arkansas, maybe a return of the black jerseys, although with those, you can never quite be sure if Georgia's going to really wear them or not. I would say that the buzz from Georgia fans yesterday was really pretty impressive. People seemed to have a good time with that. The video that Georgia produced, if people haven't seen it, they should go out of their way to look at it. It was just really, really good and kind of gave you the appropriate feelings about something like this, harkening back to some fun memories of the program in the past. My understanding is you've had a chance to talk to some Georgia recruits about this. I know you've got a story coming up on this at DogNation.com, but can you give us a little bit of a hint about what the constituency that matters most, the future members of this program, thought about the uniforms that were unveiled yesterday?
Yeah, good morning, Brandon. Good morning to everybody here today on Dog Nation. You know, it's funny, Brandon. I think I remarked on our Cover 4 live show last night that I thought that, you know, it's a crying shame that I don't have the heart to tell some of these recruits that you might not ever get to wear the thing because these are seen as one-offs. But as I tell that story, someone put me a message last night and they were like, "Now, Jeff, it could just be the white jersey, the red pants. They have a chance of sticking around for more games in 2020 than just the Arkansas game." So I guess that's a hope. You know, Brennan, it's kind of funny. And I know you like to think sometimes that you're a creature of the 80s or a creature of the 90s and you're not up with, you know, woke culture and what the kids are thinking these days about the drip. But a lot of the young men I spoke to were totally white jersey, red pants. And I thought that was a surprise. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's good to know. I mean, listen, I always have an appreciation for when young folks have, you know, kind of an appreciation for the past, even if they don't realize that those are more of a throwback to the past than anything, you know, kind of too new. The fact that they kind of have a, you know, feel and a like for classic stuff, I take some comfort in that. What's amazing for me about the uniforms, though, is, Jeff, is that typically this is the kind of thing that I wouldn't like. And admittedly, the dog collar around the neck is not my favorite. You know, the bulldog patch on the shoulder, that's not the bulldog logo that I prefer. So, you know, a couple of years ago, I probably wouldn't have liked these uniforms very much. But I don't know, maybe I'm just kind of softening up here or whatever. But I was a lot happier with this reveal yesterday than I probably would have been maybe not all that long ago. I guess I'm just kind of more open to alternative uniforms than I used to be. There are certain aspects of this that don't probably quite fit my aesthetic maybe quite as much. But, you know, overall, I liked them a lot more than I ever probably thought I would.
You know, I need your help on this, Brandon, and everybody out there as well. I've seen kind of low-key underground a new logo popping up over the last few years, I guess. And it's like a logo with a bulldog with, I guess, a pennant in its mouth or something like that. It's holding one of those old-school pennants that everybody used to have inside Sanford Stadium when they played Yale and Furman and VTI and everybody like that. But I like that logo better than that nouveau, I guess Connor called it Spike the Bulldog from those old Looney Tunes cartoons or something like that. But for me, I don't know if that logo has ever really been popular, and I think it's almost time for a reset. I was wondering if that new logo or newer logo we've seen with the bulldog with a pennant in his mouth. I know you'd probably rather see a bulldog with a gator in its mouth as the side patch logo, especially for that game down in Jacksonville. But I was wondering, is that actually a logo, or is that somebody just trying to front a little bit?
So I actually know more about this than I probably should. So that particular logo you're describing is one of my favorites that's been associated with UGA. And what Georgia does is they have a lot of, I guess you call them trademarks, things like that. And it's sort of like, for people who are familiar with this, it's sort of like the Disney vault. Like, they'll put some of these things out there for a little while. They'll allow them to be sold, and then they yank that logo off. And that was one that they put out there just briefly. A couple of the of our apparel friends had a chance to sell some of those and do some of that kind of stuff. But when that initial supply was gone, I think Georgia essentially put that back in the vault again. That's just, you know, obviously UGA has a chance to control all of its trademarks, and they don't just let all of them be used, you know, at any given time and as freely as maybe some of the apparel makers might want to. So that was an official Georgia logo. It was made available for a brief period of time, and then they kind of Disney vaulted it after that.
Hey, folks, that's classic Brandon. If you ever get Brandon around a Marlowe's table or an evening libation, he always delivers about 2 minutes of concrete, insightful talk about any subject in the world. I think he could give us something on trade import restrictions in China and maybe how the new Nike Air Max has a lot more cushion filter than ever before, to also the crossover game about Allen Iverson that made his dribble so great.
Yeah,
you got all that stuff in the back of your brain, man.
That's exactly right. Although on this show, I guess we'll kind of keep it between the banks. It's it is on the road with Jeff Sintel, assisted by AAA here. And Jeff, let me move on to another topic that's kind of been hot this week. That was Elijah Judy's decommitment. I think Judy's a really good player. Obviously, the talk of where he might end up kind of also has him staying in the SEC, programs that only recruit elite players. So there's nothing wrong with Judy as a player. I said this week, and I don't want to be unfair here, but it's the sense that I get. This whole thing feels very 2021 recruiting to me, because I don't know how connected to Georgia Judy ever really was. In the, I think it was Instagram Live video he did announcing his commitment, he didn't seem to exactly be quite as jazzed about the dogs as maybe some of the guys that we've seen in that same spot. You know, this whole thing feels like a marriage of convenience to me, in the way that I guess in 2021 you just have a lot more of because of the absence of visits. I think Judy's a good player. I'm sure he'll find a good home. But the whole Judy thing to me always just seemed a little bit weird.
Well, if you look at this class, and I think, Brandon, that's probably, you're looking through the filter of the coronavirus, and you know, this young man did decide to commit to Georgia on his birthday. I think, I don't know whether in the historical relevance of things, that it's probably safer to commit on your mom's birthday or your grandma's birthday for that to be a little bit more impactful and concrete. But here's the facts, man. I look at Elijah Judy, top 175 player. He's already about 6'3.5", 250. Definitely could set the edge for Georgia play outside, especially with Georgia now, you know, showing up in a four-man front, you know, more and more often, especially going forward after what they saw during the 2019 season from some power teams like that spread the ball around like LSU. I don't know if Judy was special. And I think what special to me means is that five-star talent, that guy that's easily one of the top 40 players in the country. And really, Brandon, I know everybody likes to focus on offensive linemen and especially the defensive linemen right now in this cycle, but let's face facts. Georgia only recruited one linebacker a year ago, and that was Mekhi Sherman. Mekhi Sherman certainly has the speed to be a hybrid play out on the edge and also play inside. Primarily, his recruiting position was a linebacker. If you look at Georgia now, they got to find some more dudes like they have in the program now to play the linebacker spot. The year before, the recruiting class before that, they picked up Nolan Smith and Jermaine Johnson. Really, when you look for the past three cycles now, there are only three Georgia Bulldogs. One of those was a JUCO prospect. So Georgia really has to restock the outside linebacker position for this cycle. The names are out there. You know, there's some names that Georgia's chased. A guy like Damian Robinson, who's committed to Maryland. Dallas Turner committed to Alabama. Corey Foreman, who could play, I think, eventually evolve into a 3-4 outside backer, but primarily kind of rush the passer for his time on Saturdays and Sundays. I don't know if Judy was one of those guys, one of those players that you look at him and you think clearly an All-American, clearly, you know, five-star type potential. I think that's the type of guy Georgia traditionally goes after. And, you know, Judy, really nice young man, really great family. His father's a corrections officer. As we said earlier, he committed on his own birthday. When I had to do my job here and just ask him, I just reached out about, you know, what happened with the recruiting? What does this mean? What sort of kind of triggered or led to his decision to decommit? And he said he would not be taking any questions about his decommitment.
Okay.
And that was very fair of him to say so and within his right to say so. And I think that kind of explains a little bit about how, and he said and he even tweeted out that he's going to make his decision on National Signing Day as well, his final decision. So certainly that at least precludes the thinking there that Elijah Judy just wanted to rethink his decision, wanted to take more time with his decision. I think he's going to go in the right path, which is best for him. And I think the University of Georgia will do the same and go on the right path that is best for them and their needs, Brandon. And what's going to happen here to me is you're going to see a lot more recruits. I think this was the dominant recruiting story of the week for me, which was when the NCAA, which had been traditionally just backing up dead periods 1 month at a time, now looks like the calendar year of 2020 is just going to be a 9.5 month long dead period with the latest extension to January the 1st. So that means a lot of kids, if they still need to see schools, if they still need to breathe the air on campus, they need to walk by the stadium, go by the bookstore to figure out what their decision is going to be, then that means they're going to have to do it independently on their own. If they're doing that in Athens, they can certainly link up with Brock Vandegrift Tours, LLC. I say that tongue-in-cheek because that's, you know, what Brock's been doing a lot of times for guys that are coming into the state of Georgia. It's odd how in this year of inconsistencies or things that are just kind of not going everyone's way, Georgia somehow managed to get their anchor five-star quarterback in the class located 15 miles away from campus where he can do a lot of heavy lifting with recruiting and take guys around town. And I think he will continue to do that. But not only the dead period extension that was part of the recent NCAA legislation I wanted to make sure everybody heard about on the program today, but it was also the fact that schools can't even give game tickets to players and their coaches to come visit as well. Definitely a controlled environment where right now the main driving force right now for a lot of these decisions in terms of recruiting is just protecting the bubble that they're trying to create and keeping the current operation of the business model for football intact without bringing any any other outsiders from other parts of the country or whatever that may, you know, may topple the chances of playing and being healthy each and every week for all these games.
It's on the road, assisted by AAA with Jeff Sintel here today. You know, my family, we've been AAA members for a long time. We love the incredible savings that come our way. And really, a lot of that is connected to the legendary roadside assistance, one of the things that AAA is famous for. But maybe something that's AAA may be a little less known for that you can really benefit from right now is the chance to switch and save on your auto insurance. When you switch and save with AAA, you can save, on average, about $529. It's an incredible savings opportunity. So please check them out online at AAA.com/auto insurance. That's AAA.com/auto insurance. I want to do more on the outside linebacker position, or at least, you know, somewhat the outside linebacker position with Corey Foreman and more in a moment. Jeff, let me do this before we get there. There was a lot of buzz last night on social media. I guess IMG Academy was taking on, I think it was Edgewater, and kind of a game that was streamed. People had a chance to watch that. Lavoisier Carroll had kind of a breakaway touchdown in that game, really showed off amazing speed, really showing those wheels. When we've talked about Carroll on this show the last couple of months, it's been in kind of reference to his stature as kind of a Pied Piper for the recruiting class, part of the Athens visit that a lot of guys took not too long ago, trolling Florida a couple of months prior to that, which was fun for me. But last night, we got a chance to see what Carroll brings to the table as a player. Admittedly, I'm probably guilty sometimes of talking about uncommitted 2021 running backs, but the Carroll touchdown last night makes it seem appropriate. How good of a player is he? What do you think about Carroll just between the white lines?
Yeah, pretty stinking good, Brandon. I'm glad you brought him up on your program. To me, he's one of the most under-the-radar Georgia Bulldogs committed in this class. And here's the definition of we'd like to say, Tiffany's taste, maybe, or rich program problems. Man, Lavoisier Carroll is the number six running back in the country. He's at IMG. They play all the power teams in Florida in a national schedule. He's over 205, right around 210 pounds, and he's sub 4.4, right at 4.4 in the 40-yard dash. And I think he's now had two or three weeks of highlights like he's made. He's just one of those guys. To me, his running style looks like a little bit like Tim Worley. He just catches a hole and goes, and then he outruns angles. He destroys angles when you watch him run. And I think once Georgia, man, doesn't it seem so long ago, Brandon, when we were thinking about, is the back going to be Lavoisier Carroll? Is it Will Shipley? Is it Travion Henderson? Is it Evan Pryor? And then, like, in that month of April when things started happening for Georgia, they took the commitment from Lavoisier Carroll because I feel they got a verified time on his speed. They knew how fast he actually was down there at IMG. He is a blazer in terms of pure, unadulterated speed. I love using that word, unadulterated. He can go, Brandon, and he can go in a way that I don't even know if Georgia has had a lot of backs that had quite that home run gear, definitely during the Kirby Smart era. But you want to talk about, I'm not talking about wiggle, I'm not talking about breaking tackles, I'm not talking about power cleaning 350 pounds in high school, but I'm talking about hitting a gap, seeing a gap, and going straight ahead north-south speed. Lavoisier Carroll is indeed very rare, and it just boggles my mind, man. This is the number six running back in the country, and I think he might be one of the five least mentioned names out of the 15 public recruits in this class right now.
Yeah, pretty interesting to think about. We're on the road, assisted by AAA with Jeff Sintel. You know, last night we're doing Cover 4 Live. You mentioned, you know, Corey Foreman, Mason Smith, two guys that we think of as closely connected, good friends. There's been a lot of speculation they'll play together. And you essentially reaffirmed last night the fact that Georgia very much in it for both of these guys. Since you brought that up last night, it seems appropriate to give you a little chance to follow up on that today. You know, kind of where do you think things stands right now after, you know, the recent visit both these guys took to Baton Rouge and kind of online chatter, admittedly growing, it would seem, certainly for both of them, around UGA. What is the latest here, Jeff?
Hey, Brandon, I think one of the quickest and earliest retweets I saw on my Twitter feed for the uniforms was one from Mason Smith. So these young men, let's say Georgia definitely has their attention. They've convinced me with kind of a, you know, I guess a Jerry Maguire, few good men courtroom argument that they're going to play together at the next level. I believe what they're saying, they're going to play together. I think this one is different. I think they got to know each other very well at the opening last July. And they've, in Mason Smith's own words, they talk about this every day. And Corey Foreman is literally his best friend. Here's what I think happened. I think Georgia, and this is a conversation that we've been steering and watching on the forum for quite a while, forum.dognation.com, that I think Georgia needs to do this. They need to play great defense. They need to get pressure on the quarterback. I think Corey Foreman sees himself as a Nolan Smith, Azeez Ojulari type in the Georgia defense, at least how that he's being portrayed, that he would be used by the coaching staff. I think Corey Foreman needs to see Georgia's pass rushers put up those 9, 10, 11 sack seasons, get to the quarterback, consistently pressure the quarterback, consistently show him that he can do those things in the Georgia defense. And then all of a sudden, Georgia's chances for landing a guy like Corey Foreman are going to go bonkers because he already likes Georgia quite a bit. He took that visit. They were in the back of the truck bed stinking up the place with the chiggers and the crickets and everything else chirping. Corey Foreman had never heard what a cricket sounds like coming out of the woods before his visit to Georgia.
Isn't that something? That something that, you know, you talk about, acquainting yourself with a different region of the country. That's really pretty funny.
I mean, I guess it would be kind of like taking Brock Vandegrift or Mason Smith out to Malibu or whatever, and watching, letting them soak in the surf and the tide and everything that the Pacific Ocean.
Let me ask you a dumb question. I guess other than the ocean, if Georgia has crickets and I think like things like mosquitoes, I don't think there are mosquitoes in California either. What does California have that Georgia doesn't have? Of course, I guess.
Smog and high taxes.
Yeah,
do you like that little political?
I started to say there's a lot of, I guess, potential answers to that, punchlines to that joke. But I've got to imagine that is a little bit of a culture shock, and that's one of the reasons why it's important to take these visits, even on kind of the, I won't even call them unofficial visits. These are unofficial visits, but you got to acquaint yourself with the region, right? Especially if you're going to be living here for 3 to 4 years.
I think they would be independent visits. I think that's the one you have to do. I still remember the story about Brock Bowers, another California kid that, you know, Todd Hartley basically sent him the old New York phone book in terms of back when there was something called the phone book in the yellow pages about all five boroughs, about basically how to navigate himself around the University of Georgia for his own independent tour guide.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
good stuff.
I think it's a real, and I said this, I continue to say this. I don't know how much better in a pandemic setting. I don't know how much better Georgia could have positioned themselves for this these two young men than they have, especially with that story we wrote last week about Mason Smith, and that we wrote three really good ones where we tried to really define Mason Smith as a prospect and also as a young man. And I still will never forget that really Georgia had given up. I can hear the Munson tones in the back of my head as I try to shape this narrative. You know, they were dead. They were goners. You gave up. You left the stadium. Admit it, you did. You know, all those classic Munson lines. And it was kind of like Mason Smith's recruiting. It was a goner. It wasn't going to happen. And Mason Smith is the one that actually reaches out to Trey Scott and says, hey, man, remember me? I just want to tell you, you got a shot. Because Trey Scott had thought, according to Smith, that Georgia no longer had a shot after watching Ed Orgeron and Joe Burrow lift every possible trophy in America that they could lift. He's from the Bayou. He's only about an hour away from New Orleans. And really, Mason Smith was the one that had to tell the Georgia staff, guys, you got a shot. This isn't a done deal about me taking the express lane commitment to LSU. So that certainly, to me, sounds like different things for Georgia. We painted the picture of Mason Smith of how he just does everything different, from his name, the way the unique spelling of his first name, to how he's going to wait until his signing day to make a commitment, how he doesn't want to choose a major that everybody else does, and he just doesn't want to go to LSU because that's what everybody in Louisiana has grown up dreaming about doing. That wasn't Mason Smith's dream, and right now what sounds like clearly is his dream is to play some great football at a championship level with his good buddy from California, Corey Foreman.
All right, this podcast at this point is on pace to be about the length of a Russian novel, but let me just squeeze in one more before we let you go, because I thought your piece on Amarius Mims, DogNation.com, was incredible. Once again, kind of focusing in on who he is as a player, after obviously there's a lot of attention been paid to him as a recruit. I guess, Jeff, let me just do this as a way of kind of asking the question. You know, I want, for the folks who haven't had a chance to read the story yet, to get a little bit of a taste of kind of how he's described, which you mind also squeezing in, You know, do you take Tennessee seriously in this recruitment? There's some online chatter about that as of late. You know, do you give credence to some rumors that he's been maybe visiting the city of Athens more than some people might realize? Would you mind sprinkling in a little bit of the recruiting soap opera, but also just kind of remind us about the kind of player that Mims is? That's obviously what your story focused on a little earlier this week at DogNation.com.
Yeah, I think I took a trip this summer. I think it was early August to visit Amarius Mims. Man, it was raining that day. And, you know, immediately after the trip, we had the quick turn stories. I think I wrote the 9 things to know about his recruiting. I wrote about that really buddy-buddy relationship he has with Brock Vandegrift. I shared a lot of photos that makes the young man basically look like something out of the CGI character for the latest Avengers movie or whatever. And yes, he has been taking these independent trips to lots of places. I think Tennessee's involvement in this is real. I think they're recruiting him hard. Certainly the Tennessee fans are flocking to him on social media like they're paid lobbyists. I would imagine. I laughed at this story we were having in his locker room, and I was asking him about the Tennessee fans, Brandon, and I said, basically, is it really like that? And he told me he could be chewing a piece of gum, or he could be pointing at a street sign, and he would get like 900 retweets or likes from everybody saying "Go Big Orange" and "Go Balls" and everything else.
Well, let me just say this: I don't mean to cut you off, but I don't know that there's any better way to convince someone not to go to Tennessee than to spend a whole bunch of time around Vol Twitter. I'm glad that Tennessee fans are all up in Amarius Mims' mentions, but that has a way of being a double-edged sword, I would suggest.
I would say that, let me use an analogy here. This is kind of like the 800-meter run in the Olympics, and there's this one runner that has a great closing kick. We're going to maybe say he's from Croatia, or we're going to maybe say he's from Czechoslovakia, and they have this great kick, and they end up winning the silver medal. I think that's what Tennessee is going to feel like for me in this recruitment of Amarius Mims. About the late charge is there, but you know, all those things, those little snippets I gave you, that's kind of like the buffalo wings or the spinach dip prior to your entree. Here's the entree for me with Amarius Mims, and I wanted to write finally after those immediate pieces. This week I got the chance to sit down and put my fingers on the keys and really say, who is this kid exactly? Like, if he was 6'4", what type of player would he be? Is he just this good because he's 6'8", almost 6'9"? Now he could grow a couple of more inches, at least one more inch, I'm hearing. But I wanted to define him as, like, you know, everybody knows he's 6'9". Everybody knows he's a 5-star. Everybody knows he's the number 2 tackle in the country. A lot of our readers know that him and Brock Vandegrift are buddy buddies and they can go fishing. But what I wanted to do was write about what I felt would make Amarius Mims special. And should he choose the University of Georgia, make him try to challenge immediately for playing time against guys like Broderick Jones and Tate Ratledge and Warren McClendon, Xavier Truss, guys like that. And for me, it came down to a couple stories. One of them was simply a board drill story where he breaks his wrist on the Monday of the first time Bleckley County is in the playoffs. And this was last year, and everybody could say, oh my gosh, Amarius, your future, don't jeopardize it. Your wrist, it's going to be very important. Your punch, you know, your hands are going to be very important. Well, and I would just say you're going to find a very unique answer and a very impressive answer to the way Amarius Mims handled that situation. I told his story a little bit through the eyes of his offensive line coach, and that's a guy that's coached Trey Hill in high school. He's coached Deontay Demery in high school. He's coached Warren McClendon in high school. And kind of hearing where Amarius stacks up right now compared to all those dudes, I think will also add to the readership right there and the understanding of what exactly he is besides a 5-star prospect.
People should read the story for themselves at DogNation.com. And as Jeff mentioned, they should also interact on the forum at forum.dognation.com as well. Jeff, thanks for being with us on the road, assisted by AAA. We hope you have a great weekend. And the next time we talk, we'll be very, very close to the start of the 2020 season. And that, my friend, I would say is a very good piece of news. So thanks for being here, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Everybody have a wonderful weekend, and I can't wait till game week next week as well.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So the fun thing about being on the road assisted by AAA with Jeff Sintel there is if you started your road trip when the interview began, you're at your destination now. So that's kind of the service we like to provide around here. And, of course, we appreciate you being here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today. Let me also squeeze this in really, really quick before we move on. I know a lot of you have now heard about your ticket situation. You found out which games you've gotten. And by the way, check your account information if you haven't heard this yet, because you may have heard by now. Thus far, the people I've heard from have been pretty happy with what happened. I think there must have just been a lot of opt-outs. And so for the most part, the people I've heard from have been pretty happy. I hope that your own personal situation in terms of the tickets you got, because I don't know that anyone got them all, but you know, the tickets you got, the locations that you were given, and I've been hearing from people who said that their tickets are, you know, different seat for every game. So how George went about all this, I don't know. But for those of you who are hoping to be at home games, I think by now you probably have heard that information. I think that came out, you know, so hope that you're all good on that. Here's what I can tell you. No matter what you're doing for a game day this fall or kind of what you may be doing to watch some sports this weekend, nothing pairs better with just a kind of fun weekend vibe than our friends at Classic City Lager. Now, today I am not wearing my Classic City Lager from Creature Comforts t-shirt, although I still am basking in the experience that we had there going back a little earlier this week, a chance to be at the Snow Tire facility to kind of see where the magic is made, where Classic City Lager and some of the other brews kind of come from there, but also kind of just experience the Creature Comforts team and, you know, what has made them such a fun part of the Athens community, really a destination for people who are coming into town there. And, you know, it's just really fun to see. And by the way, if you haven't sampled Creature Comforts Classic City Lager yet, you really need to. 6 12-pack cans are available. You can do like I do, go to Athens, get some. But really the easiest thing to do is just go to your retailer where it is that you buy your beer, and you'll see the 12-pack cans there. It's available year-round. This is an easy drinking beer. It's got great flavor. You know, frankly, I'm trying to think about, you know, is it going to be sunny enough to get a little pool time in this Saturday, maybe the final pool Saturday of the year with football coming after that. I'm thinking about watching some football, things like that. Whatever you've got going on this weekend, I can promise you Creature Comforts Classic City Lager pairs very well with that. All right, let's move on and do our SEC through here for a moment. And the news that came out yesterday, Cade Mays. So this is, I guess, to a degree somewhat confusing. You know, Mays was granted eligibility by the NCAA, but that doesn't mean he can play. He still has to get the same kind of waiver, a similar waiver from the SEC. And that's always been the tough obstacle here because, you know, the thought is the SEC doesn't like the idea of non-grad transfers moving from school to school within the league. There's a very, very tenuous relationship between a lot of the programs anyway. Let guys start hopping from team to team, and that's only going to kind of fray those bonds even more. Georgia, Tennessee may be the perfect example of this. Do you remember the other day when we talked about Joey Gatewood? And as Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio and the rival side up there at Lexington had suggested that there might be a gentleman's agreement between the Wildcats and the Auburn Tigers regarding Gatewood, that they would, Auburn would kind of give the blessing for Gatewood to be eligible his first year removed from Auburn as long as he didn't play week one against Auburn, essentially against his old team. And is there a chance we see something similar unfold here with Mays? This is obviously just my suggestion, but is there a chance that, you know, Georgia-Tennessee play week three? It's a little later in the season, but is there a chance the SEC just somehow decides to rule on Mays' case after the game against Georgia, and that Georgia's kind of willing to sign off on Mays being eligible as long as he doesn't play in that game? You know, I don't think that Mays is the kind of player that swings a Georgia-Tennessee game. I don't think he's, you know, I just don't think he's that caliber of player. I also have no problem with Georgia not exactly wanting Mays to sort of hop out the door and go play the very next day for an SEC team. I don't think that's too much to ask, you know, for a player to have some consequence for just kind of, you know, hopping from school to school on that. But this zombie's going to continue. We're going to see how that goes. I meant to pull up a picture for you on this. I don't think I have one. But Georgia was not the only SEC school to unveil new uniforms yesterday. Ole Miss also did so as well. Now, Ole Miss is kind of going with kind of, I don't want to call it powder blue necessarily, but it's a lighter blue. I think it's an awesome look for their uniform. I'm kind of a uniform guy. You know, like I have an 8-year-old son, and we're watching sports on TV. We just spend a lot of time talking about which uniforms we like, which ones we don't. To me, that's just kind of the fun of being a sports fan. I have a lot of opinions on uniforms. The new Ole Miss uniforms are really pretty impressive. It's kind of a reminder of the baseball uniform they wear sometimes, which is also kind of the light blue there. I think it's one of the better uniforms in the SEC. that light blue baseball uniform that Ole Miss kind of wears. They're doing a similar thing with football here, too, so that's pretty good. Colin Hill, the former Colorado State transfer, has been officially named the South Carolina starter. This is interesting to me for two reasons. Coming out of high school, I thought Ryan Helinski was really a pretty good player, so apparently something with Helinski's not quite going as right as maybe he would hoped it would have there in Columbia. But the other thing is, this is Muschamp also swimming against the tide of what a lot of SEC programs do, including Georgia, when it comes to actually naming a starter. Georgia probably won't name one. They'll just go play against Arkansas, and we'll find out when the game begins what's going on here. Muschamp and his offensive coordinator Mike Bobo seem to be taking an opposite approach, actually naming Hill the starter and maybe trying to build a little momentum for him at the beginning of the season. This is pretty interesting. South Carolina sounds like it wants to play kind of slow this year. Running game obviously took a little bit of a hobble once Marshawn Lloyd got injured. This is an important year for Muschamp, and I've always felt like that Bobo was going to be a potential catalyst to help him save his job. But now he'll be doing that with a quarterback that he knows very well. Colin Hill, essentially coming with Bobo from Fort Collins, now the starting quarterback for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And then finally there's this. And listen, I don't really care one way or another, but did you see where LSU coach Ed Orgeron is going to be profiled on 60 Minutes? And I think it's this Sunday. Something tells me that this is going to be quite an adventure. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Orgeron just sort of seems like the kind of guy that's not super careful with his words, and that's one of the things you probably like about him. I don't really know why Orgeron would do this. I mean, I guess the 60 Minutes commercial plays during the NFL games. Maybe recruits are watching that. But it's not like recruits are going to be watching for who's even on 60 Minutes these days. Ed Bradley, is he still around? Is he still doing that? What's the gal's name? I mean, it's been a while since I've watched 60 Minutes. I'm not even sure who's even doing that anymore. I don't know. I'm not, something about Ed Orgeron with that tick, 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 tick sounder in the background. It just either seems weird or kind of a waste of Orgeron's time. I'm not really sure what he hopes to get out of that, but we'll make that your SEC through. And I want to talk Georgia running backs here for a moment. But before we do that, I want to tell you about my friends at Nally Toyota. They are the place to buy a Toyota in North Atlanta and across North Georgia. They are a trusted local dealership. It means they take good care of you. That means they want to service you after the sale there as well. Just making sure that you're very happy with what you get there. There's no better place to buy a Toyota than my friends there at Nally Toyota right there. For those of you in the North Atlanta, North Georgia area, you can check that out. Also, great savings right now on a vehicle getting a ton of buzz. That's the 2020 Toyota Highlander. It's got all new technology. It is a IIHS top safety pick. It is a Kelley Blue Book best resale value as well. And great savings right now with our friends at Nally Toyota. How about as little as $586 a month for qualified buyers? That's not including down payment or applicable fees. An offer is only valid in the month of September, but Nally Toyota doing big things for you when it comes to that. You can find them online at toyotaofroswell.com. The website is Toyota of Roswell. That'll get you in touch with Nally Toyota and find out more about the great savings right now on the 2020 Toyota Highlander. All right, let me kind of move on here. I told you earlier that one of the themes that we were getting into today is with the quarterback situation kind of up in the air. You know, I just mentioned a moment ago, Will Muschamp has announced Colin Hill as South Carolina's starting quarterback. Georgia's not going to do that. Georgia right now may not be ready. Maybe it is just true that they're waiting to see just how much Juan Mathis develops and how comfortable he is, waiting to see how healthy that JT Daniels is. The good news is that Georgia ought to have some offensive weapons that it can lean on. One of the ones we mentioned a little earlier were wide receivers. Year two for George Pickens should be a ton of fun to see. The buzz from Jermaine Burton, who supposedly had the biggest catch of all in the scrimmage last Saturday, according to those who were there, that buzz pretty significant. And it's also the running backs as well. You know, James Cook, who I haven't heard anything yet that's caused me to slow down on the notion that this could finally be the year that really Cook maximizes all of his great potential in a Georgia uniform. And Zamir White, now more healthy than he's been, ready to be the kind of player that many of us assumed he could be when he was the nation's number one running back for the class of 2018. That tandem of White and Cook may be a throwback to what Georgia had with DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield in 2018, and then Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel before that. Certainly a guy who seems to think they're just as good as any of the other Georgia running backs in recent years is one of the guys we heard from earlier in today's show, defensive tackle Jordan Davis. He's gone up against these guys during practice, and when it comes to Zamir and James Cook, Jordan Davis likes what he sees.
There's no drop-off. You know, they bring so unique, bring both things, multiple things to the game. It's really fun to watch and really fun to play with her. They're both fast, so it's giving me a hard time at practice trying to catch up after them. But, you know, I love them boys both.
So my feelings on this is, obviously, I don't want the running game for Georgia to be as big of a factor as it was, like, say, a year ago, because I think the reliance on the run ultimately hurt Georgia. The lack of respect that opposing defenses had for the Georgia passing attack eventually made it easier to stop the run. So I don't want this team to be, you know, maybe as run heavy as we've seen it be in certain situations in the past. But there's no denying that when you've got Zamir White, when you've got James Cook, and all of a sudden now you're starting to hear some buzz that maybe Kenny McIntosh and Kendall Milton, who've been a little, I guess, banged up during practice, maybe they're not quite so banged up anymore. Maybe they're also ready to be contributors here as the season's beginning as well. When you've got that kind of depth running back, and by the way, people have heard some really good things and some fun things about Dejon Edwards also. When you've got that kind of depth, you'd be a fool not to use it and use it in creative ways. And, you know, finding a way to make wider running lanes for running backs to run through, which, you know, means leaning on your passing game a bit. But I would take Jordan Davis's words there seriously for a moment. The notion that, yes, Georgia's still got running backs who are not a drop-off from what this program's had in the past. The DeAndre Swift, maybe even the Nick Chubbs and the Sony Michels. And even though it's a new offense and an offense that I think is going to be designed to get more out of the passing game, as that passing game gets comfortable with itself, as the signal caller, the quarterback that Georgia will lean on to orchestrate that passing attack, as he's getting comfortable, or as the tandem of those two guys that they're both playing, as they're getting comfortable, the luxury that Georgia has at the running back position really matters. It's fun to hear Jordan Davis saying that there, and I can't wait to see how all of this comes together on the field here this year. In the little bit of time we have left in our program, let me kind of shift gears as well to the other games coming up this weekend. Let's do our MyBookie best bets here for a moment. It is not, I will admit, a very good weekend in college football. In fact, this may be, it's obviously mitigating factors because you got so many leagues that aren't playing yet, but this is probably the worst college football weekend I've probably ever seen. However, there is one game that I think is probably pretty interesting. So let me throw this on the screen here for you a minute. A couple college football games, handful from the NFL, and three golfers to watch. With the United States Open, here are my bookie best bets for the weekend. I'm going to take the Knights of UCF at Georgia Tech as a 7.5-point favorite. Obviously, this is what a lot of our audience probably hopes is true. I think the point here for me is don't read too much into Tech on the road last week at Florida State. I think Florida State's still a program that has a lot of problems. I think UCF is the kind of team that probably chomping at the bit to get going here. I think Tech and maybe a little bit of a flat spot after playing well on the road, coming back home, maybe getting some pats on the back this week. I don't see them keeping it close with UCF. Game of the day in college football, this is a ton of fun, Miami at Louisville. For all the attention that, you know, Gus Malzahn's offensive stuff has, you know, kind of gotten, a lot of people forget that Rhett Lashley, the former offensive coordinator a few years ago, left to take the job at UConn. That's how frustrated he was by working with Malzahn. You imagine a lot of Auburn fans were paying attention last week when Miami totaled more than 300 yards in the ground in their game in a weekend when a lot of offenses were struggling. That said, I like Scott Satterfield. I like the work that he's doing there at Louisville. They're a 2.5-point favorite at home against the Hurricanes. I'll take the Cardinals there as a MyBookie best bet. Let me give you three golfers to watch at the U.S. Open, kind of a favorite, kind of a mid-level type guy, you know, more near the top than not, and maybe a little bit of a long shot as well. John Rahm right now at MyBookie is 8-1. You know, Rahm, the one thing that's probably kept him from being best golfer in the world, you know, not a great, at least not an elite second shot player. He's only 54th, I think, strokes gained approach. But this is the kind of guy that you could see breaking out in a big way at the U.S. Open. 8-1 the rest of the weekend. I'll take him. If you're looking for a UGA guy to root for, Harris English right now is about 36-1. English has had a really good year. He's been top 20 all season long, kind of strokes gained tee to green. He's kind of hanging around right now, 2 under, I believe, on the Thursday round. He's in action right now as I speak. I have no idea how he's performing, but I'll take him at 36-1. And then I'm really impressed with the young crop of golfers that are out there right now. Obviously, the former Oklahoma State golfer, Matthew Wolf, had a good round one, but Hovland, who was even yesterday, and the winner of this golf tournament is probably going to be over par. Hovland was even yesterday. He's 90-1 now on the tournament. If you want to have some fun with a real long shot to kind of maybe get back involved, a guy like Hovland at 90-1 may be worth a look. And then finally, really quick from the NFL. Was on the Giants last week, didn't work out, but I'll take them plus the 5.5 at the Bears. Bears are no good. Fool's gold after beating Detroit a week ago. I'll take the Jags plus 7.5 against the Titans. I'm not quite so sure that Jacksonville's not a little bit better than they've been given credit for. They certainly played hard a week ago. And then Patriots, rare opportunity for Bill Belichick as an underdog. This has been profitable in the past. Patriots 8-1 straight up in their last 9 opportunities as an underdog. They are plus 4 at Seattle. That's good value. Give me the Patriots to possibly win that game outright, but certainly plus the 4. You love that. It's a MyBookie best bet. And by the way, speaking of our friends at MyBookie, it is winning season with them right now. It means it's time to get in and make some big-time picks. Better picks than the ones I just made, almost for sure. You're able to do that, and when you do, you get big savings at MyBookie. Big first deposit bonus. They're going to double your first deposit. You can get up to $1,000 there, but you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION. It's all one word. Spelled the way it's supposed to be, DAWG. Get in with DOGNATION, the promo code there. Big savings, big deposit bonuses as winning season begins at MyBookie. Simply search MyBookie online, find it. I've done that. It's very easy to do. You can look it up, and you can find it very easily. You can use the promo code DOGNATION. After that, you play, you win, you get paid. But if you want the big sign-up bonus, if you want to get your deposit doubled, if you want to get up to $1,000, you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION with our friends at MyBookie. All right, as we get ready to wrap up here, I mentioned this with Jeff Sintel a little earlier. I guess the one most surprising thing with the Georgia uniforms is how much I like them. I am not the kind of person that would typically have spiked, dog collar around my neck. But I actually, the overall vibe of the Georgia uniforms, I probably actually liked a lot more than maybe some other people, probably at least myself, I probably thought I would, way before that. You know, pretty good stuff all the way around there. It was fun to watch the reaction to that. By the way, also go to DogNation.com. You can read more about the Georgia players that made the preseason All-SEC coaches team that was released yesterday. We had a fun conversation about this yesterday as well on Cover 4 Live, presented by Georgia Farm Bureau. A lot of names mentioned now, maybe even more names mentioned by the end of the season. That's a fun conversation to pay attention to and keep some thoughts on. By the way, Gator Hater Updater, how about 1,420 days? Long time since Florida's beating Georgia. That's good news to end the week. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.